Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here today, especially if you are visiting with us today. It's great to have you in our midst, and we do pray that you'll feel very welcome here in West Kilbride. You should all be bright and alert this morning. You've had an extra hour in your bed, so you'll be ready to look at God's Word, and we're going to turn back to Acts chapter 12, verse 25 and onwards. And as we do so, just a couple of adverts for you. First of all, the evening service tonight, we are continuing looking at the I Am sayings in the evening, and we're going to be looking at I Am the Vine tonight in our evening service. So please do come along 7 o'clock this evening. Also just to say about Wednesday we have the light party, which we are very much looking forward to, 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Please bring your children, your grandchildren along to that, but that does mean there'll be no Wednesday fellowship this week. So please do pray for the light party as it happens here on Wednesday evening. I wonder if you remember the detective series Morse. Do you remember Morse? Inspector Morse? Based on the novels by Colin Dexter. The series ran from 1987 through to the year 2000. I thought it was longer than that. It seemed to go on forever and ever, all these episodes of Morse. And maybe you were disappointed when it finally came to the end. And you remember what happened at the end, year 2000. You thought, it's all over. But then, a few years later, 2006, a new series started. And it was called Lewis. And that's the same man there, isn't it? And this is Sergeant Robbie Lewis, Morse's former sidekick, now promoted and with a new sidekick himself. And it was a passing on of the generations. There was Morse to begin with, and then it was the spin-off series into Lewis. And it wouldn't surprise me, because Lewis is now finished as well, if there's a spin-off series from that too. Over these last few weeks, we've been travelling through the book of Acts. And in many ways, it's been quite clear that there has been a main character in the book of Acts. And it's been Peter, the Apostle Peter, has been the foremost figure within the church. And remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 that it was upon Peter, the rock, Petros, as his name would be in Greek, that he would build his church. And in many ways, it has been Peter who's been there from the outset. It was Peter who was the spokesperson at Pentecost. And it's Peter who has led this charge, if you want to put it that way, of the church growing throughout Judea and Samaria and beginning to go to the ends of the earth. But of course, if we know the story of Acts, we know that in Acts chapter 9, the scene shifts away from Peter. And instead, it focuses upon the amazing conversion of Paul on the Damascus Road. Remember how Paul, or Saul as he was then, was a Jew of Jews, and he was so zealous that he persecuted this new group called Christians. How he was there and he was nodding with approval when Stephen was stoned, the first Christian martyr. And then on the way to Damascus, as he's going to persecute the church there, he meets with Jesus. And his life is completely changed. And he becomes a believer. He's baptized. He begins to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Quite a change. Quite a turnaround. And so immediately, when we come to chapter 9 and we hear this story of Paul, we think that Paul is now going to become the main character. It's almost as if Peter was Morse, and Paul is like Lewis. And so we might be surprised, therefore, at chapters 10 to 12, which in many ways seem like a kind of interruption to the flow of things. Because again, they're focused back on Peter. But what I want to suggest to you this morning is that chapters 10 through to 12 are the foundations of Christian mission going global. This is the church exploding in this part of the world and becoming global. You see, in chapter 10, what did we have? the first Gentile convert, Cornelius. In chapter 11, what's the focus upon? Well, it's focused upon the Gentile church at Antioch. And chapter 12, I suppose, is like a picture for us of what the church is going to face. We see the martyrdom of James. We see the imprisonment of Peter. And yet overall, what do we see? We see the sovereignty of God, that the word of God continues to spread and flourish. And what happens in these three chapters is like an embryo of what's going to happen in the rest of the world. What's going to be reflected in the rest of the book of Acts. And that story begins in chapter 13 that we're going to look at today. Now at the end of chapter 12, if you have it before you there, we see that the scene shifts once more. Turns away from Peter. Remember Peter's miraculous escape from prison. In many ways, Peter goes into hiding. We don't see so much of Peter further on in Acts after this point. And the scene shifts towards Barnabas and Saul. And we see them returning from Jerusalem. Remember at the end of chapter 11 that they had been sent, the two of them, Barnabas and Saul, with a gift to Judea to try and provide help for those in Judea because the prophet Agabus had predicted that there would be a famine there. So they've been sent off to Judea, and this is them coming back from Jerusalem. And we see them returning at the end of chapter 12 with John Mark to Antioch. And what we're about to see in chapter 13 is the beginning of Paul's missionary journey. You see, there's Antioch just there, okay? It's just in Syria there, okay? Just down at the bottom there, very much north from Jerusalem. Antioch was a Gentile city, and it was a large city. It was the third city of the Roman Empire at that time. Its population was around 500,000, so roughly the population of Edinburgh today. And it was known as the Queen of the East because of its beautiful architecture. It's very much a multicultural city. And that's reflected by those who are there at this time. And we see some of them because we're told at the church in Antioch at this time that there are a number of prophets and teachers. There's Barnabas, first of all, just come back with Paul. Where's he from? He's from Cyprus. There's Simeon, called Niger, who's most likely a black African. There's Lucius of Cyrene in Libya. There's Manaen, who's effectively the foster brother of Herod the Tetrarch. And then there's Paul from Tarsus in modern Turkey. It's a multicultural church. And it's been very blessed with a number of teachers and a number of prophets. But note here that the church at Antioch is not just satisfied with having those teachers and prophets being having them alone. They aren't just satisfied and willing to sit back and say, "Isn't this great? What a wonderful church we are part of here. We are so blessed with so many teachers and prophets." What they are concerned about is that the Christian gospel is advanced. And that's what we see in this chapter. And in many ways, what we see and what we have with the church here at Antioch is it's a springboard church. It's a sending church. It's a mission church. That's what it is. You see, as you look at this church, we don't know that much about the church in Antioch, but you see them doing the right things, don't you? First of all, we see them worshipping the Lord and fasting. That's what we see them doing as Barnabas and Paul, something that's commanded in Scripture, but it shows how serious the believers were in Antioch. They worship, they fast. And as they do so, as they're in the right place with God, what happens? The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. Now, we're not told how We don't know if it's through an audible voice. We don't know through it's through a picture, an impression, whatever it might be. We just know that it's happened. And the Holy Spirit says that they are to set apart Barnabas and Paul for the work which they have been called to. They are to be set apart. That's not a very good picture, incidentally, but you get the point, don't you? Set apart. We've seen this in the church here recently. We set apart Brian as a reader in the Church of Scotland. Set apart for a particular role, for a particular task. And Barnabas and Paul are to be set apart. Now, we know from chapter 9 that Paul is to be God's chosen instrument to proclaim God's name to the Gentiles. And here we see this beginning to be fulfilled. And as soon as they fasted and prayed, Barnabas and Saul, they send them off. Now, before we look at the detail of the first mission here, I just want to pause for a moment, okay? Press the pause button for a moment. Because we could just easily pass over the fact that the church there at Antioch set Barnabas and Saul apart and sent them off. And we might think, well, that's nothing to them. You know, that's what they did. They laid their hands on them, sent them off. But what we need to remember here is that church at Antioch seemed to be a church that was going really well. It seemed to be a vibrant church. Look at the number of prophets and teachers that they had. And it could have been tempting for them to think to themselves, look, the Holy Spirit can't be saying anything to us about sending off Barnabas and Paul because things are going really well here. We need them here. That's what they could have said. That could have been their thinking. But there's no hint of that, is there? There's no sense of, oh, I'm really disappointed that Barnabas and Saul have been sent away because you know something? Simeon and Manaen, they can't quite preach as well, can they? They're not as good. Their prophecy, it doesn't have the same power. There's no sense of that, is there? There's no hint of regret or hint of them wanting to hold on to Barnabas and Paul. They're simply obedient. Obedient to God and in response to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And they lay their hands on Barnabas and Paul and they send them off. And that's it. And what's so refreshing here is that the church at Antioch is able to see beyond itself. That's the wonderful thing. They were able to see that there were other people who needed to hear the word of God and the good news of the gospel of Christ. And so they aren't looking inward, thinking about how blessed they are. We've got all these prophets and teachers, how wonderful it is to be here. They look outward, knowing how blessed they are. And I want to suggest to you today that one of the marks of a healthy church is to be outward looking. To be outward looking. Not to be so comfortable that we want to hold on to what we've got, but being bold enough to share what we've got. And that's true, isn't it? And it's a challenge. It's a challenge for us here in West Kilbride. Are we willing to go out? Are we willing to serve others? Are we willing to share the good news with others? And are we willing to send people out to do things, which may not be for the benefit, as we see it, of West Kilbride Parish Church, but are for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, which is far greater. You see, sometimes if we're honest, we can become very inward focused. But the whole message of the gospel is that it is good news, which is to be shared and to be proclaimed. And so we have a lot to learn from the church here at Antioch, this springboard church, this mission church. Are we the same here in West Kilbride? So let's look at Barnabas and Paul as they embark on this first missionary journey. As we saw earlier, they're at Antioch. But they go to Seleucia and sail to Cyprus. That's the island down at the bottom there. Some of you have probably been on holiday there at one point or another. And they arrive at Salamis. And they proclaim the word of God in the Jewish synagogues, first of all. And that's the pattern. The pattern always is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And they share the good news about Jesus Christ. And they travel the whole island and they come to Paphos. You see Paphos there, just in the south of the island. And there they meet a sorcerer, a false prophet called Bar-Jesus or Elymas, which means sorcerer. And he's an attendant of the proconsul, one of the leaders on the island at the time, effectively a senator. And this proconsul wants to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, opposes them, opposes Paul and Barnabas, and tries to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And Paul, knowing this and being filled with the Holy Spirit, has some fairly strong words, doesn't he? And Elymas ends up being blinded for a time. It's perhaps a physical symbol of his spiritual state, the spiritual darkness that he's in. And as this sorcerer gropes around, having been blinded, what happens? The proconsul believes. He sees what's happened with the sorcerer, Elymas. But more than that, he's amazed about the teaching about the Lord. And so he believes. And we see the church again spreading, with a person of influence here on Cyprus becoming a Christian. Now, what are we to learn from this morning? Well, Paul and Barnabas, of course, have a particular calling, don't they? They have a particular calling to share the gospel and to proclaim it to those who don't know it. They start in the synagogues, but they then proclaim it to the Gentiles too. And in this story, we see that their task is not going to be a breeze, is it? It's not going to be breeze. It's not going to be an easy task. Because we see opposition. And we see spiritual opposition here. Because, of course, wherever the gospel is proclaimed and wherever God is at work, the devil is at work also. But we also see here that the Lord doesn't desert Barnabas and Paul. He helps them. And this man, the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, becomes a Christian, the light overcoming the darkness. And in many ways, it serves for a picture for us when we are sharing the gospel. Because all of us, we may not be a Barnabas, we may not be a Paul, but all of us are called to share the good news of the gospel. We are all called to go and make disciples. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. Sometimes we think, I've tried to share the gospel and, it should be dead easy and I've just given up because it's not easy. But this shows us the gospel, it's not easy to share sometimes. It's not as if you can just share the news about Jesus and people believe. It's not easy. But of course, what does Jesus promise at the end of Matthew 28 in the Great Commission? He promises that he will be with us always. Always he will be with us. No matter what we're going through, no matter how difficult it is to share the good news of the gospel, Jesus promises he will be with us. Now, of course, the devil doesn't want us to make disciples. He doesn't want people to trust in Jesus. But of course, God is greater than any power of darkness. And so we don't need to be afraid. You see, when this happened with Paul and Barnabas, and they saw this man, Elymas, they might have thought to themselves, this is too difficult. We're getting too much opposition here. But they were open to God. They were open to the prompting of his Holy Spirit. And this man, Sergius Paulus, believed. You see, God is greater than any power of darkness. And so we don't need to be afraid. And so it shouldn't surprise us here that despite the best efforts of this sorcerer, of this false prophet, that the proconsul believes and puts his faith in Jesus. You see, if God is at work, who can stop him? Who can stop him? No one can, is God. And he is sovereign over all. And so what do we see in this passage? We see the gospel spreading. We see the gospel spreading into Cyprus. We see the gospel spreading and beginning its spread throughout the world. It's eventually going to spread as far as the United Kingdom. It's eventually going to spread as far as Scotland. It's eventually going to spread even here in West Kilbride. This is the start of it. That's why we're here this morning, because the gospel has spread this far. And people have been telling people about Jesus all this time. And here in West Kilbride today, in 2018, we're still called to share it, to share that good news of the gospel. Yes, we might face opposition, but do you not believe that God is greater? Of course he is. He will overcome. And those who are his will come to him and put their faith in him. You see, what's required is a bit of boldness, trusting in the purposes of God, trusting in the promises of God. And we are called to pray and then to go. Not to be inward looking. I'm quite comfortable. I'm quite comfortable with my faith where I am. I'm quite comfortable coming here on a Sunday morning. But you know, the rest of the week, I don't want to tell anyone about my faith. But that's not what we're called to do. We're all called to share our faith. And if God means anything to us, if the cross means anything to us, if Jesus dying there on the cross means anything to us, and the forgiveness of sins that is found there, if Jesus rising again to new life on the third day means anything to us, why would we not share it? Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to invite others to come into the kingdom of God. You see, we're very blessed here in West Kilbride. We may not have, I don't know whether 7 prophets and teachers, but we've got myself and Betsy. We've got Brian. We've got others. We've got other ministers. We've got Alan. We've got David. We've got other people that could preach and lead a service. We're very blessed here in West Kilbride. But of course, it's not just about West Kilbride, is it? It's about the kingdom of God here in West Kilbride, in Ayrshire, in Scotland, and the world. Are we willing to turn ourselves from looking inward to looking outward? Are we willing to become a gospel mission church and to say, I want to share the good news about Jesus? Because that is what we're called to do. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, and as a church, and we thank you for the example of the church here in your word, this church at Antioch. We thank you for the way that they were willing to look outwards, not just to hold people and the gospel to themselves, but to send out Barnabas and Paul for that great work of sharing the good news. And Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves that we would be bold enough to share the good news of the gospel. Yes, Lord God, we recognize that we will face opposition. We recognize that the evil one does not want people to put their faith in Jesus. And yet, Lord God, we trust that you are greater, that you will always overcome. And you, Lord Jesus, have promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. So we pray for us as individuals, but we also pray for ourselves as a church this morning. Lord God, we are very blessed here in West Kilbride, and we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. But we pray increasingly as a church that we would be willing to look outside our walls, that we'll be able to look into our community that we'd be able to send people out to share the good news of the gospel. Because we recognize in our own nation at this time that there are many people who have never heard about Jesus, who have never put their faith in Jesus. And Father, we long for them to come into the kingdom of God. So Heavenly Father, we ask that you would fan into flames the gifts that are within us this morning, and that we as your people might serve you as you have called us to do. So Heavenly Father, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.